You checked into sea serpents.
Sea serpents are also very, very popular travel destinations. I've been trying, even though we've been going off into cryptids and ancient mysteries more and more, I'm trying to bring it back to the travel aspect. And sea monsters, we were thinking about doing giants first, but sea monsters are more travel friendly because Nessie is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, travel draw for Scotland. People are just obsessed with it. Never mind nobody's actually seen it, you know, a really good sighting or taking a picture that's lasting. People just love the idea of it. Even
well, we've seen pictures. We just don't know if they're authentic or
not. Yeah, there are pictures, but they're not proven to be authentic. People have apparently seen them. We did an article on Nessie. We kind of went through the suspected sightings that are actually logs coming to the surface or maybe giant otters. But there is a possibility that there is a form of giant otter in that region. It's called the Dover Chew, or sometimes called the super otter or master otter. That's basically what some people think is a giant prehistoric otter, which is like up to 12 feet long and can rear up on its hind legs to a very, very tall height. There was actually in recent Irish history, there was an example of a Dover Chew actually killing a woman. She snuck up on it accidentally and scared it, and it actually killed her. They're very powerful. An interesting thing about the Dover Chew is that when it moved, it had a huge hump on its back, leading some people to think maybe this isn't the sightings of Nessie, or actually this huge creature with this hump on its back, because a lot of the Nessie sightings, they say it was a creature with a hump on its back, or one or more humps.
Do you think it's a plesiosaur?
When I did my analysis of the sea serpents, some people pointed out that the sea serpents are almost always vertically undulating, but no creature in the animal world does vertical undulating. Snakes go horizontally, and plesiosaurs have a rigid back, so they can't undulate like that. Also, plesiosaurs are pretty large, and there's not enough fish in Loch Ness to support them. One possibility is that there is an underwater series of caves that connect various lakes, and they can move around from the old glacial period. But as far as actually being able to support a plesiosaur-type creature, there's just enough water there and not enough fish in the lake to do it.
What's ever in the loch, there aren't a lot of them there.
No, there always could be something. A researcher's champ in Lake Champlain thought it might be an ancient form of dinosaur called a Champtanistropheus, which is kind of an amphibian dinosaur, which is very long and thin, and has 4 feet and was specifically designed to live in shallow water. So it's kind of like a giant water snake with feet. That could be a fossil remnant, which might explain some of these sightings. Other people think it might be a zeulodon, which is a form of fossil whale, but that's also kind of a fixed spine, doesn't have much flexibility. Most of the sea serpents, like I said, look like giant snakes that undulate vertically instead of horizontal, so it's hard to really classify them since no other animal does that we know of.
Do you try to take people to these locations where these mysteries occur?
I don't do it, but we might start doing that. If we find we get some more writers and people on the scene like Ian, Ian could take people around Stonehenge if he wanted to, because he actually lives around that area. But it's an extra level of complexity, which I can't really handle right now. This is mostly bootstrapped, actually. So we're growing very, very slowly and kind of as a side project, which I'm turning into a primary business.
Because, like I said, during the day, you're a marketing communications consultant.
That's right, yeah. So if I can walk away...
You're going to have a long day this morning, Doug.
What was that?
You're going to have a long day this morning.
Well, the thing about that is that I'm independent, so I set my own hours. I'm actually between projects right now, so now is a good time to stay up late.
All right,
chit-chat on mysteries.
Next half hour, I want to talk about the end-time prophecies, because you've done a lot of work in that arena. But tell me about the mysterious Nimrod and why this is part of your investigation.
Nimrod is another interesting biblical character. He is in the Table of Nations in Genesis 10, which describes the ancient ancestors of all of us. Nimrod was given pride of place. He was given, I think it was 4 complete lines, whereas almost everyone else except for Abraham was given 1 or 2 words. Now, this has led scholars to believe that Nimrod was a man of exceptional importance in the ancient world. Nimrod actually means, the etymology means he who rebelled, and for Nimrod in the Hebrew. Various scholars believe that Nimrod was actually a king of Babylon or of ancient Sumer, like...
part of Iraq.
Or, which is Iraq, yeah. He was the ancient ruler of Iraq in ancient times. And Nimrod was one of the first giants to appear in the world after the flood. And he was probably the most powerful and influential. In my analysis of Nimrod, people thought, well, who Nimrod was. I decided that Nimrod was actually Pharaoh Narmer of the Egyptians because it fit etymologically as Nimrod. The Nimrod described in that passage couldn't have possibly lived long enough to do all the things he is said to have done. So my opinion is that Nimrod is actually a line of what are called divine fisher kings, a special line of giants that are hybrid humans, like the ones before the flood. But these are the ones after, and these are the ones who attempt to rebuild the world before the flood. That was what it says in the ancient literature. Nimrod's intention was to rebuild the world as it had been before the flood. And he started doing so in the ancient Near East and Babylon. And his descendants are still trying to this day. And that might be the real secret behind these secret societies, are their descendants of Nimrod. And the constellation that was associated with Nimrod was Orion. And the ancients used to worship Orion as the mighty hunter before the Lord. And my opinion is it actually supposed to be the preposition al, which could be before, could also mean against, in the sense of the mighty hunter against the Lord, Nimrod and Orion, the constellation.